everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Civ Show podcast, where we suck so you don't have to. I'm your host, Moisos.
Raising Zozo.
And Nystagmus. Man, it's been a little bit since we had a podcast.
It has been a little bit since we've had a podcast. You know, it's summer. We're enjoying our time with our families and the weather and everything like that. And, you know, there has been a lot of news and civilization going on. So we've slowed down the podcast a little bit, but we're not going anywhere. We're still here. We're going to be recording and we'll be releasing these periodically. And you know, when Civ Give comes around, then we'll probably start to ramp this up once again. Right?
For sure.
With that out of the way and out of the bag, let's move to our topic of the day, which is this mod that we just played on Sunday. This incredible, incredible mod. One of the, if I would just go ahead and say this, one of the best mods that we've played on the Civ Show.
Yeah, I think that is an apt and astute observation.
The attention to detail. Thank you, scholar. Thank you very much for your big words there.
I know. No, the attention to detail in this mod is just amazing.
Yeah, at the very least, the amount of detail that went into, like, it wasn't just modding aspects of the game. It created entirely new leaders and new models and even a new wonder for one of the leaders, especially.
Yeah, so let's go through what the hell are you guys talking about? Well, we are talking about this mod that is called Maiko's Mario Themed Leader Pass. It includes Princess Peach, King Bowser, and Princess Daisy as new leaders, each representing their own civilization, with Peach leading the Mushroom Kingdom, King Bowser leading the Koopas, and Princess Daisy leading Sarasland. I don't know how to pronounce that, and I don't know the lore behind Mario enough to know how that's supposed to sound, so I apologize for that. If you want to correct me, you can go ahead. But like Nystagmus said, this features 3D animations for all of the leaders. This features even 3D models for every single, it seemed like every single combat unit was replaced with either a Koopa or a Goomba or a Toad. Yeah, unfortunately, Daisy didn't have any custom models. And Maiko, actually, the creator of this mod pack, he came into the stream yesterday and I asked him, like, why doesn't Daisy have anything like cool like that? And his response is actually very valid. It's that no one actually really knows what Daisy's kingdom looks like or what their people look like. So we know that the Mushroom Kingdom, we know that there's a bunch of Toads and the Koopas, there's a bunch of Koopas and Goombas, but we don't know what Daisy's kingdom looks like. So I was like, okay, that's fair. I can't argue with that. But there were still some really cool things highlighted in Daisy's thing. So I want to go through each individual leader. Let's start with a random draw of you, Nystagmus, with Princess Peach.
Yeah, so I was Princess Peach in the game. So the first ability is called Strange Paintings. So for every great artist that gives you a landscape painting, you get a copycat artist that can create those same paintings. And then each duplicate painting acts as a portal from one to the other. Now, we couldn't actually get that ability to work during the game, and I think Maiko kind of said it might be a multiplayer issue. I think that might be actually the case. I'm going to try it myself.
Yeah, he messaged me after, actually, and he's like, hey, I fixed the bug. And I was like, oh, so apparently now if you download it now, the update, it'll work in multiplayer.
Okay, excellent. Yeah, that's cool. But yeah, that's a really cool ability. I guess I would imagine it acts like an airport, basically. And then the other ability is Land of Mushrooms, Bricks, and Coins. So truffles, stones yield +2 culture, and every tile yields an additional +1 gold, which is pretty awesome. And then the wonder that's in the game is Peach's Castle. This is a wonder that's unique to Princess Peach. Contains 6 slots for great works, and patronage of great people costs 25% less gold, and all tourism yields from landscape paintings are doubled. So once you get for a culture victory, and it must be built on a hill next to a river. That was the problem I had. I was trying to build it and I didn't have any cities that had rivers except for two on the outskirts. I had the crappiest production ever. And so I had to chop it out. And then the best thing I liked was the Toad House. So this is a builder can build this. It's a unique improvement. +2 gold, plus 30 HP healing, which I also couldn't get to work in the game.
You have to be healing already. You can't just like stay in the tile and not heal and expect it to heal. You have to be fortified on the tile.
I fortified the unit and it didn't heal.
Okay, because when I saw you try to do it, you weren't fortified. So maybe you've done it probably like on other places where I didn't see. But the one time I looked, you weren't fortified.
And then you get plus one gold for every adjacent district, plus two food for every adjacent camp, plus two production for every adjacent quarry. Provides one housing, which is great. I love the fact that none of my cities had a problem with housing, because A, you could build this thing anywhere. And it can receive an additional gold once banking and economics are discovered. And it cannot be built to next to another toad house, but it can be built on like any tile. It can be like any tile can build a toad house, and they just can't be next to each other.
This is such a crazy improvement. Like, I thought like the Mecha WAP was really good. Then they, you know, this appears out of thin air, and like everything about this is amazing. The fact that even it's plus two food for every camp, you know, it's not hard to put it next to one camp, right? And what if it's next to two? Plus four food on one tile? Yeah, that's crazy. Same with the production. It's not hard to get a quarry.
I had one deer camp and I put like three toad houses next to it.
Yeah, man. Even like snow tiles or not snow, but tundra tiles can be good for Peach in this case. If there's deer there, if there is
nothing, you get gold. Like you get four. The lowest one I had was basically four gold. That was the lowest toad house I had.
Yeah, and banking's not that far, right? It's like medieval era, I think.
So you can build them once currency is made, right?
Yeah.
And then banking and economics both add on an additional gold.
Okay. So three, four. So you can get four gold with the toad house by economics.
Yeah, but then if you put it next to like districts and stuff, I had toad houses that were making like eight gold.
Oof. Wow.
Oh my gosh. Overall feel.
I love this. I'm going to play it again at one point. But if you notice, like, I was making so much gold that like when you guys all attacked me at the end of the game, I kind of forgot that I was making gold, and I ended up with like 1,000 something before I knew it, because I just wasn't spending it. I kept using my production to build units, which was wrong on my part, but whatever. I still doubled quadrupled my military score in like 10 turns. But yeah, I love this. I'm going to play it again at some point. I want to play Daisy too, just to get what you're going to talk about, your stuff. But I'll let you discuss that.
That's a good transition for me with Daisy. So you're going to go last, though.
Sure.
Because you got to save the best for last.
Of course.
Princess Daisy, their leader ability is fun loving. You know me, I'm fun loving all the time. Plus one amenity for each entertainment complex, theater square, preserve, and water park district in a city during a golden age. So not only does the entertainment complex give you amenities by default by just building it, but it also gives you an additional amenity when you're in a golden age. And it can stack if you build a theater square, entertainment complex, and a preserve. That's plus three amenities in your one city during a golden age. Happy cities provide plus one appeal, and ecstatic cities provide plus two appeal to each of their tiles. So Daisy's all about appeal and making sure that her people are extremely happy, which is very easy to do. I thought for Scotland it was easy to do with their golf courses. No, with Daisy, it's even easier and even cooler. I'll be honest, even cooler.
Even cooler. Scotland.
It is. The civ ability is Land of the Four Kingdoms. So this is such a crazy ability. It sounds very lackluster until you really think about it. I explained this yesterday, so you guys know, but the listeners don't know. Civ ability, Land of the Four Kingdoms. Every first city founded on a desert, next to a mountain, next to the coast, or next to a natural wonder, have their own palace. Now, what does that mean?
So nice.
Having their own palace means that it is considered a capital city. And so any ability that sends yields to the capital now sends it to all of the cities that contain a palace. This includes, and I tested this yesterday, vampires. When they spawn in your capital, when you should only have two vampires, you now have four vampires in the medieval era, which is ridiculous. And you can still only build two vampire castles, but all of those yields that are being sent, quote unquote, to the capital are now being sent to four cities. And all of the envoys, you only need one envoy you need one envoy to a trade city state and you get like plus two gold to your capital. Now you're getting plus eight gold because it's sending it to four different cities. So this ability just, it stacks with so many different things. And it was like, it went way under my radar until I actually played it and just saw it firsthand. It was so, so, so good. And that's not even like half of Daisy's thing. Like, that's a great, incredible. But wait until we get to the unique improvements. There's more. I thought Daisy was the most boring, but then I played Daisy and I was like, oh my God, I was so wrong. So I'm going to go to the unique improvement first. I think this is really cool. It's called the Flower Sanctuary. So the Flower Sanctuary replaces the grove in the preserve. And oh no, I'm so sorry, I'm gonna back up. The unique building, the giant beanstalk garden, this replaces the grove in the preserve. And when you build it, you see this like giant stem coming out of this preserve, just out like Jack and the Beanstalk style, just straight up. And you see like a little flower on the top of it. And as you get through each era, and I'll explain why in a bit, as you get through each era, you see the beanstalk grow taller and taller and taller.
So neat.
So it's an evolution. It's really cool. It's actually really, really, really cool. So great animation and great thought for that as well. So it replaces the grove. It does exactly the same things as the grove. Plus one food, plus one faith, plus one culture for charming, and then increase to plus two for breathtaking. The difference is that these bonus yields, the plus two food, faith, and culture, these bonus yields are expanded to further tiles every new era to a maximum of three tiles. So these don't stack with each other though. So you have to kind of space out your preserves, which I didn't do, but I didn't know how this ability really worked. But as the beanstalk grows taller and taller every era, the yields or the bonuses also grow out. And so suddenly you're having almost every single tile that's unimproved. Every single tile is now producing food, culture, faith. And when you get to like the sanctuaries, you're getting science, you're getting production as well. Like every benefit that you get to preserve is now just affecting your entire empire. And every era, it plants trees on the tiles that are getting those bonuses. So not only are you getting bonuses for having charming tiles, if they are charming, now suddenly in the next era, there are trees there and the surrounding tiles are now more appealing. And the surrounding tiles now even generate more yields because now they're breathtaking. And so suddenly your whole kingdom is super breathtaking everywhere. I even took Call of the Cthulhu, which is a religion expanded mod pantheon that gives you plus one science for breathtaking tiles. So I was just bonkers with yields in my land. It was absolutely amazing. I know like I'm just ranting here, but just, oh my God, it was so good. Okay, now the unique unit and the unique improvement go hand in hand. So the unique unit is the Royal Gardener. So it replaces the Naturalist. And I get it earlier, I noticed. I think I got it at Medieval Fairs, which I don't know if that's too early or if it's a little later. I can't remember exactly, but I did get it before Conservation. And it replaces the Naturalist, like I said. It can't build national parks, but it can build what we call flower sanctuaries. And it has three charges. So a flower sanctuary, I like to call this as a, or we kind of agreed on this term, I guess, a one-tile national park that's just filled with flowers. So you don't need to make the requirement of like, it needs to be a diamond shape and it needs to all be in the same city and like so confusing. I know Zoe can't wrap his brain around how to make a national park. It's totally fine. Now you can build flower sanctuaries. It's only one tile big. It gives you plus two appeal, so even more appeal. And it provides gold equal to half of the appeal of the tile, which if you kind of stack all of these abilities, it's not out of the question to get a plus eight, plus nine, even plus 10 appeal tile. You build Eiffel Tower eventually as well. That's the plus one appeal in your entire empire. That is Daisy in a nutshell, just an epic empire builder with so many yields and pairs really great with vampires. Yeah. Daisy. Woo!
So, man. All right. In case you cared about like the lore, right? So, Daisy is first introduced in Super Mario Land, which was a Game Boy game, like in 1989, I think. It's pretty old. And basically, it's the same kind of platform game for Mario, but Princess Daisy takes the place of Princess Peach as like the damsel in distress. And it takes place in Terrace's land, which is made of four kingdoms. So the four kingdoms in that game are the Birabuto kingdom, which is influenced by ancient Egypt, which is why you have to build
a desert.
Yeah, okay. Desert.
Yeah.
The Muda kingdom, based on Bermuda. The
wonder.
The eastern
the coast.
The eastern kingdom, based on Easter Island. And then the Chai kingdom, influenced by mythical ancient China.
Okay.
So
that's cool. That's really cool.
I actually, it's been like such a long time since I played this game. So yeah, back when I had a Game Boy, back in those days, but either way, yeah. So
back in my day.
Yeah.
Now we have Nintendo Switches as our mobile gaming system. Yeah, I know. Come a long way.
So long. I'm like,
tell us about
I'm playing it like right now as we're doing this. Especially because, like, I did not use him properly until I finally realized how he worked. And then I was like, oh, this is so cool. Okay. And also, for some reason, it was suggested Bowser's way more powerful than everyone else. Moi suggested that. So the game
opened. I even admitted that I thought my abilities were lackluster until I played it. So.
Yeah, they're balanced.
Yeah.
They're all balanced. So we actually opened the game 2v1 sort of style. And then I quickly realized, I'm like, nah, you guys you're not superior, or I'm not superior. Okay, but I do have very flavorful abilities that I would argue are on par with the two amazing abilities that we just heard from Daisy and Peach. So first of all, Bowser is the king of Koopa Kingdom, okay? He's the lord of Koopa Kingdom, and his first ability is so unique, political kidnapper and nepotist. So that's Bowser,
a name.
That's what it's called, political kidnapper and nepotist. Okay, so if you recall the revolutionary Super Mario Brothers 3 and the original Super Mario Brothers 3 cartoon featured Koopa's kids, okay? He has them on the weekends, and there's like seven of them, and they were each like the lords of their own castles. And it was a very neat idea. They were like a bunch of mini bosses that and each one of them had their own quirky, fun sort of theme. So they're back. The Koopa kids are back, and they power the political kidnapper and nepotist ability as Koopa gets seven unique governors. Okay, one for each of the kids. All right. Let me actually just briefly talk to you about the governors before I describe this neat ability. So you've got Ludwig the scientist. He pretty much, you kill units and you get science. Like, that's his first ability. And then it's all just science. Lots and lots and lots of science. Universities and research labs provide plus five science each, but minus four gold. You know, unethical experiments. Universities and research labs provide plus five science, but minus two culture, minus two faith. Okay, so stuff like that.
It's crazy, though. Stacking both of those is crazy.
Yeah, man. You're going to have, crazy. Especially if you take Hermetic Order. And you're now making, you know, that much in production and gold as well. Like, those aren't even penalties with Hermetic Order. You're getting them all as advantages. And I'm hoping that they stack with, like, you know, double science output and stuff. We'll see. You got Larry the Trickster. He has his first ability is your border expansion rate increases by 50%. That's whack. Like, that's like that is just whack. He has Scorched Desert. All enemy units suffer damage every turn they are on a desert tile in this city. So you obviously put him in the middle of a desert square. All enemy freezing tundra. All enemy units have reduced movement if they are on tundra or snow in this city. You know, just stuff like that. He has Arsonist. Builders can start forest fires and jungle fires in the city. And then he has air defense plus 25 combat strength to anti-air support units within the city's territories against nukes and aircraft. So he's like the gift that keeps on giving from the early game to the late game. And he's able to blast stuff out of the sky. You got Morton the Militarist. He gives you combat bonuses and loyalty bonuses, lets you attack more with your city. He's basically your military governor. You got Wendy the Treasurer, who's also pretty whack. Your builders get plus one charge, which is fine, but you get inflation. Increase 5% of the gold generated in the city each turn. Okay, 5%, that's a percentage. That's a pretty huge, okay? All gold adjacency bonuses also provide production bonuses in this city. Plus 6 gold per turn from all trade routes in and out of this city.
And
then eventually she can buy districts. Iggy the Inventor, plus 1 production per turn, but minus 15% city growth. So not great. He's all about get stuff cheap. You can cut down forest and get 80% yields. He makes like quarries get bigger, plus 2 production, minus 1 food. He has skip quality control, plus 100% production to combat units in this city. But those units have minus 5 combat strength. Okay, for double production, sure. Hyper industrialization, increase the power provided by each resource of coal, oil, and nuclear by 2, and production by 3. It's okay. I like this one. Roy the Rockstar. Right off the bat, the city generates 15% bonus to culture and faith. Cult of personality, plus 1 faith for each citizen. You never see stuff like that. Plus 1 popularization, plus 1 culture for each citizen. False advertising, plus 100% tourism output to civilizations to which you have a trade route. That's crazy.
That's funny. It's called false advertising.
So yeah. Show business. All cultural adjacency bonuses also provide gold in the city. Plus 2 for each building in a theater square district. And then cultural appropriation. You gain 15% of your allies' tourism from cities.
What?
From your allies' tourism, you get 15% of it. Like, why? Because it's cultural appropriation. And then finally, Lemmy the Jester, Schadenfreude, plus 1 amenity for every city, for each unhappy city within 10 tiles, max of 6. So you get up to 6 amenities if all your other cities are unhappy. Provender, settlers in this don't consume population. Debauchery, plus 50% food, but minus 15% to production in your city. Trade routes ending here provide plus 3 food, but minus 1 production in their starting city. Plus 50% food production is ridiculous.
That's really good.
Just ridiculous.
Really, really good.
Fishy business can construct a fishery improvement, plus 1 food. 0.5 housing, plus 1 food if adjacent to sea resource, plus 1 production if Lemmy's in your city. Circus, plus 3 amenities in the city, plus 2 extra amenities if the city has horse and ivory, or ivory. And then parks and recreation can construct the city park improvement, plus 1 culture, plus 2 appeal, plus 1 amenity if adjacent to water. City parks provide plus 3 culture, plus 3 faith. So these are all great. You want them all, but it's like, oh, you only have so many governor points. Well, thankfully, due to political kidnapping and nepotism, we don't have to worry about that. So this grants 1 governor title after completing a neutralized governor spy mission. The governors are replaced by Koopalings. Cities with an established governor cannot have their improvements, buildings, or districts damaged by volcanoes or other environmental effects. So, you kidnap enemy governors, essentially, and you turn them into titles for yourself, and you get more Koopa Kids. And every kingdom that has a Koopa Kid in it is immune from damage to volcanoes and other environmental effects. Okay, which is important because there's some abilities here that matter for such things.
Remember that for later.
Yeah, folks. Okay, that's just nuts though. Like, I really want to see some spy action with Bowser and see like how effective can we make this neutralizing governors all over the place to get, you know, all these governor titles. Land of Fire. All specialty districts receive a major adjacency bonus from volcanoes and geothermal fissures, which is like huge. Okay, like I just built a library plus 8 because it's beside a geothermal fissure. Units do not receive damage from volcanoes and fires. Okay, if you're playing apocalypse mode, just, yeah, lava everywhere. Woo, lava. Okay, starting fires everywhere. Woo. Civilizations that are at war with the Koopa Kingdom receive plus 100% unit damage from volcanoes and fires in Koopa territory. So you're able to basically use like the Russian blizzard effect all the time. You want to not chop your woods. You want to have lots of woods everywhere or take over cities that, you know, maybe one of the civs makes forests.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Special unit. This is nuts. This unit. Okay. It's like a Janissary. It's an airship. All right. So to build one, you have to eat up a population. The airship is a Koopa army. Okay. It's a Koopa army and it receives combat strength bonus in a golden age. It can settle cities and no movement penalty and can fight on water. So it's essentially a flying settler that has an attack of 45. That's only range 1. Okay. But attack of 45 goes up during golden ages and it can found cities. So the only thing I think it's missing is that you should be able to go over deep water somehow. That would have been so great. They have a movement of 3, okay, but the fact that you can go do some damage and then settle a city, you know, all of a sudden, that's amazing.
When they become irrelevant, like, oh, they're out-tacked. Okay, I'm just going to settle all of these cities
all
now.
All of these. And
when,
then,
when you settle a city, does it consume the airship? I didn't read that.
Yeah, it consumes the airship. Now, if you're smart, you're going to have a governor establishment, governor palace or whatever established, and you're going to have that when you found a new city, you get a free builder because of Lava Fortress. So a Lava Fortress unlocks a builder ability to construct a lava fortress unique to Koopas. So you get this at castles. Okay, a little bit mid game. So occupying units in the lava fortress receive plus 4 defense strength and are automatically gain 2 rounds of fortification just for being in there.
It's like
you
a
get
fort.
2 rounds. Yeah. It's a fort. Yeah. Plus 1 production, plus 1 science. Then you get plus 1 production, plus 1 science for each adjacent volcanic soil. Oh, interesting.
Interesting.
Oh, that's, you know, it'd be great if you had volcanic soil everywhere. Provides plus 2 housing, provides tourism from science after researching flight, and you only get 1 per city. It acts as a volcano and cannot be removed. So once you make it, you've got yourself a volcano that can't hurt you and it hurts everybody else. Cities with a lava fortress built have access to the terraforming project, which provides science. Yes. Science every turn, great engineer points, and erupts all volcanoes in the city once finished. So you basically are able to build a volcano that you're able to then over and over and over again erupt. And the project's like his basic project, not a whole lot of production to finish it. Every time it does that, it's making soil and the soil each one. So right off the bat, you're very likely going to up the production and the science to plus 6 because you're getting plus 1 for each adjacent volcanic soil. So you actually want to build your volcano surrounded by nothing, like no mountains or anything like that. Very easy to do since you get to choose where it goes. So yeah, I don't think that Bowser's as fast as your 2s. I think your 2s are much faster, especially the getting that toad house so early. But Bowser's like a medieval empire that once you hit the medieval era between your castles and your because your castles also get you access to your spies, you can then go on a political kidnapping spree, get tons of governors in theory, and you're going to need that production, right, that it makes because spies are crazy expensive. So I love any empire that is spy oriented, and this is like the best. The way to stop it, though, is just don't put the governors back. I was like, no, no, so I'm not using my governor. Too bad. But no, the Koopa, very, very awesome. And I didn't realize the volcano thing until much too late. But now that I know, like I could actually see a game. We talked about this pressures idea where it's just I'll use volcanoes. You plant trees. You use toad houses. Let's see what we can do. Anyways, that's Koopa.
So I want to appreciate just the attention to detail that this mod really went into.
Yes.
Like I said before, they replaced like the warriors for Bowser were little Koopas with clubs, and the chariot, the heavy chariot, was a Koopa being pulled by a horse in a chariot, and the builders were toads for Peach, and they made little toad noises whenever they would actually do an ability, right? Like, yeah, woohoo, yeah, whatever's sound effect is. Can you make a toad sound effect?
Wah-ha! Yeah! Hoo-hoo-ha! Wah-ha!
I'm gonna assume you said like something. That. I just didn't Wah-ha! Hear it because Discord muffled you.
I'm the best!
Is that toad?
I'm the best!
Yeah, but yeah, like the models, even the music in the game is very on theme. It's very
fantastic music.
It's like gaming music. He remixed a little bit. And just shout out to Maiko for building an absolutely gem of a mod. Check it out. It's called Maiko's Mario Themed Leader Pass. I don't want to speak for Maiko, but I thought I remember them saying that they're going to add to this pass. But yes. I don't know.
Yes, he did. Because he said Zoe's right. And I was like, yeah, because I suggested that I think the only reason they did three was to make sure they got it right, that he got it right, then they're going to add more. And that's exactly what's going to happen. So we are going to see more additions in the future.
But it did take him 4 months to make these three with everything that he did, with like the music yes. and the
music's
modeling.
So good.
Like even like Peach's Wonder, the Peach's Kingdom castle, it has like a custom animation.
It has an animation, yeah.
Yes, it's like legit animation. Like you got that's attention to detail. Like I don't think we usually just see like a picture, right? When somebody makes something.
Well, the only other person who does that is SuckerTact. He goes through and does like the 3D animations
right,
and models,
right.
and
that's
he'll
right.
like when they have a unique improvement that he actually like make models it, and you can see the unique building. It's really really cool. But yeah, like there's it's rare. It's more rare than common that you see like you said, Zoe, the attention to detail of like, yes, the models and the animations and everything like that. Even the music. Oh, the music was so good.
So good. I can't wait to revisit this. It's just so good.
And I think we will revisit this and maybe we'll each play someone different now that we've kind of have experience with one of them. And then maybe we'll have a later start too. So we all immediately start with our abilities. So maybe we start in the Renaissance era, right after the medieval era. So everybody has their abilities and everyone can start, you know, being good right away.
I like it.
All right, cool. And we love mods here on the Civ Show. We think that, you know, especially when we believe that Civ 6 is on the down and down, as Civ 7 hopefully is on the up and up. Mods like this is what keeps the community alive and what keeps the game going and what keeps it fresh. So thank you, Maiko, for putting in the time and the effort for all this. And thank you to all of the mod makers that make any kind of mod. We really want to feature more mods here on the Civ Show. So if you have one of your favorite mods that is not really well known, or you just really love this mod, you want to share it with somebody, you want to give it a platform, send us a message. Send us a message on our Discord. You can even there's a Q&A section on Spotify. If you're listening to this on Spotify, you can go to like the description and I'll put a question there saying like, what's your favorite mod? You can link it there. Or like I said, you can just hop into our Discord, which that link is in the description of wherever you're listening this to. And you can put it in our Discord. We have a Civ Mods channel. You can put it in there and we'll take a look at it. And if we really like it, we're going to feature it on a Sunday for the Civ Show.
For sure. For sure. Well done. Well done. Love seeing mods like this. Can't wait to see more.
Excellent. Yeah, I'm really excited. Actually, I want to play as Bowser. Can I call that?
Yep. You go for sure. It.
That would mean
hey, if you guys want, we can
be Daisy.
We can revisit this Sunday. I would be totally down for that, revisiting this on Sunday. So let's do it. Let's revisit it. Awesome. Okay, so come in Sunday. Join us next Sunday. you'll see it again. All right. Well, that's it for us this podcast. It was great getting back together with the band and talking Civ. We hope to see you Sunday nights, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on The Civ Show. Stagus, where else can they find us?
You can find us on YouTube. So we have our new Past the Save series. So definitely check that out. Moy, isn't there an update on that too, I guess, or not so much yet?
I finished part two of Riddick Acidic, the rough draft. I'm editing it down, so it should be out either late this week, which this episode gets released on Thursday. So let's say it's either, I don't know, you know what? Let's aim for early next week. We're going to aim for Monday or Tuesday next week. So that'll be July 24th or 25th. That'll get released.
Sounds
and
good.
And then the next series is going to come out. And we have a really good guest for that one. So stay
yeah,
tuned.
Say, yeah, definitely follow us and subscribe us on YouTube if you want to see that series. I think it's pretty fun. I think so far, each of us have screwed up a game that we've done so far.
And we make up rules as we go. You know, like, yeah, Zoe's going to take an extra 60 turns. All of a sudden,
60 turns.
Like, I get it. It's 60, like, you know, turns. 63 turns.
Doesn't ask anybody. He just kind of does it on his own, you know.
You got to take 63 extra turns.
Yeah, we just get that message on the Discord. Sorry, guys. So this happened. So this is a new rule. Like, okay.
Yeah.
I just made this right now. It's too late. You're going to have to comply with it. Okay.
Shoot it from the hip, guys. No bad ideas. Let's
go. There's no bad ideas. See? You understand.
I better not talk too much because I think I'm the one who has to start the next one after this. So.
It's true. It's true. Awesome. What else, Nostagmus? What else are we trying to do this year?
So we're also trying to create a in-person Civ Give. That's our yearly event during Christmas time. So you could definitely help us out by doing that. We're trying to set a goal to help get our creators into the same room for the Civ Give and make it a more than one evening event, make it a multi-day event. So like a whole weekend kind of thing, kind of deal. So you can either, you know, subscribe to us on Twitch. You can join us on Patreon. There's even a link usually in our stream where you can donate directly to that cause to create that event. So, and we thank everyone for their support so far.
Yeah, all revenue will be going towards the Civ Give. So no matter how you support us, that'll be going towards the Civ Give this year. So yeah, thank you for listening. We'll see you on Sunday. We're going to be playing Maiko's Mario Theme Pass Leader Pass again. And yeah, let's see how it does. So see you on Sunday.
Good night, everybody.
Have a good one.